Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
You are correct. It is, once again, your daily, your weekly dose. Daily would be fun, but wow, that's a lot of work. I do have a day job. Your weekly dose of conservative wickedness. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you one and all again for joining me today, TGIF. It is finally Friday. The weekend is upon us, people. Hope you all have some fabulous weekend plans going on. And wow, we have got a ton of stuff to get into today. As usual, there is no shortage of things to talk about and things going on in the political world. And we will try to get to as much of it as possible. You can call in here. The number is 347-857-2620. 347-857-2620. Or, as always, the chat room is open for your convenience if you would like to go that route. That is open as well. So, like I said, we've got a ton of stuff to get to. And, gosh, I don't even know where to start here today. You know, I think I'm going to start here. I've been saying for weeks that Donald Trump is not just running against Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party. Donald Trump is running against a whole host of other entities, a whole host of other elements. And a few of those elements are fellow Republicans, people in his own party who are insisting that he is unfit for office, that he is incompetent, that he makes these kind of statements and that kind of statements, and he engages in these actions and those actions, and there's a whole laundry list of things that these people will talk about as backing up their claims that we need to replace in August, no less. That we need to replace our Republican nominee for president and somehow remove Donald Trump from that place. And, you know, there is I do have a report here. This is from Newsmax, and I'm going to talk about this in a little more detail later on, that there are over 70 Republicans, former some party operatives, people of that nature, who have signed on to a letter that they are going, it's a petition actually, that they are going to present, I believe, next week to RNC Chairman Reince Priebus to cut off funds for Donald Trump. And so again, Donald Trump is not just running against Hillary and the Democrats, but he's running against many of his fellow Republicans. And for anybody who has a pair of eyes, it is patently obvious that he is also running against the mainstream media. And, you know, I wouldn't just leave it at the mainstream media. I think he's running against a lot of conservative media as well, because some of the coverage that I've witnessed myself on Fox News, just in the past, maybe week, maybe 2 weeks, that, you know, when the whole Second Amendment issue was going on, you know, pick a scandal, air quotes, Trump scandal du jour that the media likes to trot out and make people pay attention to, so that they're not paying attention to Hillary Clinton, so that they're not paying attention to the Clinton Foundation and that whole money laundering scheme, because please, let's call it what it is. The Clinton Foundation is a vast money laundering scheme. So the media tries to drag out all of these, like I said, air quote scandals that Trump is involved in to distract us from watching what's going on with Hillary and with the Clinton campaign and all of the surrounding issues surrounding that campaign. And this week in the New York Times, granted, I'm no New York Times fan, not many of us in the conservative movement are fans of the New York Times, but this was an editorial, and this was from, actually, the date on it is August the 7th, which was last Sunday, but I know that it's been talked about a lot this week, and basically what this is it, as if the media needs any kind of justification to the rest of the world why they think it's their job to not only go after Donald Trump, but to take him out. They, of course, they all think that this is their job. And you know, when young skulls full of mush enter journalism school and they get told by these liberal professors at journalism school who have been there forever and a day that somehow it's their job to change the world. Well, no, actually, that's not your job. I've never been to journalism school, but I will tell you that were I to enter journalism school, I know that is not my job to, quote, change the world. My job is to answer the questions who, what, why, when, how, where. That is my job, not to change the world. But, again, you have all these young journalism school, young people who are entering journalism school, and they are told by liberal professors that is their job to change the world. But this editorial, its opinion piece in the New York Times, basically is justifying why it should be acceptable for the mainstream media to take out Donald Trump. And it is written by a guy named Jim Rutenberg, who is fairly well known, and it kind of starts out, I can read little bits and pieces of this. He says, it starts out, if you're a working journalist and you believe that Donald J. Trump is a demagogue playing to the nation's worst racist and nationalistic tendencies, that he cozies up to anti-American dictators, and that he would be dangerous with control of the United States nuclear codes, how the heck are you supposed to cover him? Well, and here's the thing with that, is that all of these journalists, they live in that New York, D.C. bubble on the East Coast, and everything else is fluff for them. It's flyover country. And so that's the mentality that you're dealing with, first off. But he goes on to say, because if you believe all of those things, you have to throw out the textbook American journalism. You have to throw out the textbook American journalism has been using for the better part of the past half century, if not longer, and approach it in a way you've never approached anything in your career. If you view a Trump presidency as something that's potentially dangerous, then your reporting is going to reflect that. You would move closer than you've ever been to being oppositional. That's uncomfortable and uncharted territory for every mainstream, non-opinion journalist I've ever known, and by normal standards, untenable. And so my question to them is, so are you admitting that you think it's okay to do what you're doing? Because anybody with a set of eyes can see what's going on here. And so do they. I think we've all known as conservatives, I think we've known for quite a while that people in the mainstream media don't believe that the rules apply to them, that they can write things that justify in ways like this. And Rutenberg poses the question, but the question that everyone is grappling with is, do normal standards apply? And if they don't, take their place. So he's right there, the door is being opened for the kind of coverage that you're seeing. So again, it's not restricted, it's not limited to mainstream media. And when we think of mainstream media, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, that crowd, it's I don't think it's limited to that anymore, because I'm seeing more and more of it on Fox News, and I'm seeing more of it in conservative media. And the thing with that, very quickly before I go back to this, I don't want to get off topic, but one of the things that I hear, not just myself, but I hear a lot of other conservatives, one of their biggest beefs that they will go on and on and on about is the fact that the Republican Party is more than happy to kill their wounded. They are more than happy to eat their own. And, you know, there are plenty of people who are going to tell you that Donald Trump is not their ideal candidate. He's not my ideal candidate. Sometimes you have to work, and maybe it sounds like a lame excuse, but sometimes the scenario that you're presented with, the scenario of, well, we have to work with the cards that we're dealt with, sometimes that scenario sucks big time too. But I think that you have to look at I think all you have to do is look at the alternative. I mean, look at the alternative. Look at the entire broad picture of that alternative. But anyway, this editorial here by the New York Times goes on to say, it's by Jim Rutenberg. He admits that Hillary Clinton should draw plenty more tough-minded coverage herself. She proved that again last week with her assertion on Fox News Sunday that James Comey, director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, had declared her to be truthful in her answers about her decision to use a private email server for official State Department business, a grossly misleading interpretation of an FBI report that pointed up various falsehoods in her public explanations. Well, the problem with that is that the media is not they're not presenting more tough-minded coverage. If they're covering any of this at all, and there are so many things here that we're going to talk about today, if you go to any of those mainstream outlets, you're not going to hear anything but crickets. You are not going to see one iota of coverage of any of these stories. And he goes on to talk about the Morning Joe program on MSNBC hosted by Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. He says, yet there was Mr. Scarborough on Wednesday asking the former Central Intelligence Agency director, Michael V. Hayden, whether there were safeguards in place to ensure that if Mr. Trump, quote, gets angry, he can't launch a nuclear weapon, unquote, given the perception that he might not be the most stable guy. So that's what you're working with. You're working with people who know that to the general American public, perception is reality. Maybe that is an unfortunate fact, but it is a fact. And you're also dealing with a lot of people who are not people who listen to Red Nation Rising Radio Network and people who listen to Conservative Cauldron Radio and people who listen to all of the great programming on Red Nation Rising Radio Network. We're all kind of political junkies. We're all kind of political dorks and geeks. And so we're into this all the time, but the majority of the American public is not. In fact, you know, there's been study after study after study that shows that even in a presidential election year, people don't pay attention until after Labor Day. They're too busy. They're going on vacation. They're getting their kids back to school. They're doing whatever it is. They're living their lives. And so you can launch those types of attacks, you can launch those types of narratives, and you know, you can also take it back to Adolf Hitler's propaganda minister, who once said that if you tell people something enough times, they'll believe it. And coming from an evil a regime as that was, that's true. That's absolutely true. This goes on to say, then Mr. Scarborough shared an alarming conversation he said he had with a, quote, foreign policy expert who had given Mr. Trump a national security briefing. Three times he asked about the use of nuclear weapons, Mr. Scarborough said, describing one of the questions as, if we have them, why can't we use them? So, again, this is all designed to portray Donald Trump as trigger-happy when it comes to nuclear weapons. And Mr. Trump has denied Mr. Scarborough's account. He told the New York Times in March that he would use nuclear weapons as, quote, an absolutely last step, unquote. But when the MSNBC host Chris Matthews challenged him for raising the possibility he would use them, Mr. Trump asked, then why are we making them? Mr. Scarborough is on the opinion side of the news business. It's much dodgier for conventional news reporters to treat this year's political debate as one between quote, normal and abnormal, as the Vox editor-in-chief Ezra Klein put it recently. In a sense, that's just what reporters are doing, and it's unavoidable because Mr. Trump is conducting his campaign in ways we've not normally seen. So again, here's another narrative that's being presented, that this election cycle, this presidential election, is not about Democrat versus Republican. It's not about conservative versus liberal. It's about normal and abnormal. And who do you think are the, air quotes again, normal people, and who do you think are the abnormal people? It's very clear what that narrative is and what it's designed to do. But this is about, let's see, this printed out to about 5 or 6 pages. I would definitely go to the, I would encourage everyone to go to the New York Times website and read the whole thing. I wish I had time to get into all of it. And he goes on to talk about, if you have a nominee who expresses warmth toward one of our most mischievous and many menacing adversaries, a nominee who shatters all the norms about how our leaders treat families whose sons died for our country, a nominee proposing to rethink the alliances that have guided our foreign policy for 60 years, that demands coverage, copious coverage, and aggressive coverage. That is a quote from Carolyn Ryan. She is the New York Times senior editor for politics. She goes on to say, it doesn't mean that we won't vigorously pursue reporting lines on Hillary Clinton. We are, and we will. Well, no, you're really not, and I don't foresee in the near future that you will. But again, all of those stories that she alluded to, for the most part, those are media-driven stories. They are designed to distract. They're designed to distract from Hillary Clinton. And, you know, you can talk about all the poll numbers and things, too, but polls being what they are, again, some of the other highlights here that I want to finish up very quickly before we go to a break, and I've got, I've got such a ton of other stuff. A lot of core Trump supporters certainly view it that way. They will only serve to worsen their already dim view of the news media, which initially failed to recognize the power of their grievances and therefore failed to recognize the seriousness of Mr. Trump's candidacy. I would argue that not only did the media fail to do all those things, everyone did. Mr. Rutenberg finishes up by saying, it may not always seem fair to Mr. Trump or his supporters, but journalism shouldn't measure itself against anyone campaign's definition of fairness. It is journalism's job to be true to the readers and viewers, I would agree, and true to the facts in a way that will stand up to history's judgment. To do anything less would be untenable. Well, I think many of us can argue that they most certainly are doing a whole lot less. And this is going to go on. It's just going to get worse the closer we get to the election, that Donald Trump will be, for the most part, not just running against Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, he will be running against the media. And what needs to happen is people in conservative media need to fight the fights for him. Let him focus on the issues. Let him focus on the campaign itself, and let others in conservative media fight the fights for him and do the attacking and do the responding and do the snapping back if we need to do. I am going to take a very quick break. We have got so much more to get to. I have something from The Atlantic. Black pastors are breaking the law to get Hillary Clinton elected. Of course, we have the lawsuit that was sued by two of the Benghazi families. And, oh, here's a shocker. The Communist Party unites behind Hillary Clinton. No. Stay right where you are, people. I am loaded for bear today. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on Red Nation Rising Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
We are back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF people. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. Like I said at the top of the show, I've got a ton of stuff to get to, but very quickly here, I'll go over some poll numbers here. You know, we've been hearing all week long about how Donald Trump's poll numbers are falling, and even the cover of Time magazine this week is saying what a meltdown that is going on in the Trump campaign, and you know, the sky is falling, that kind of thing, the kind of thing that the media fervently hopes for when they're talking about conservatives and Republicans. But this, as always, is from Real Clear Politics. The Real Clear Politics poll average has Hillary Clinton at 47.5% and Donald Trump at 41.2%. So that is a spread of 6.3 percentage points. In the battleground states here, Pennsylvania, Clinton 49.2, Trump 40. That puts Hillary Clinton up by 9.2 in Pennsylvania. Michigan, Clinton 41.8, Trump 35.2. That puts Clinton up by 6.6. In the all-important state of Ohio, Clinton 45, Trump 42. So that puts Hillary Clinton up by 2.6, which would more than likely in that poll be within the margin of error. Again, another very important state, Florida, Hillary Clinton 45, Donald Trump 43. So again, within a margin of error, Hillary Clinton is only up by 2 points. Iowa, Clinton 40.8, Donald Trump 40.4. So that's basically a dead heat. Wisconsin, Clinton 46.7, Trump 37.3. Hillary Clinton is up by 9.4 percentage points there. And in North Carolina, Clinton 44.3, Trump 43.0. Again, within a margin of error, Clinton up by 1.3 percentage points. So, you know, here's the thing with polls. I'm certainly not a pollster, but I do know that you can make a poll based on who you talk to, how many of a certain group of people that you talk to, and how you pose questions to those people that you talk to. You can make a poll show anything you want. And I listened to Kellyanne Conway the other night. She is a pollster herself. And she currently right now is working for the Trump campaign. And she has a theory that I completely agree with, that there is a whole group of Trump supporters who are, for lack of a better phrase to put it, I'm going to use this phrase because I think it's kind of ironic and kind of funny, in the closet. They don't want to come out and tell a pollster or tell anybody else, their friends or family, anybody they come in contact during their everyday life, that they are Trump supporters because they don't want to catch the heat. They don't want to hear all of the things that they think they're going to hear when they say that they're a Trump supporter. And Kellyanne Conway has also gone on to say that she has found that online polls are actually a little more accurate than calling people and talking to them, because with the internet, as with anything else on the internet, you have that veil of anonymity. And so people feel more free to say what they think. They feel more free to say who they're going to vote for. And so she thinks that there is a whole lot, her theory is that there are a whole lot of people here who, when they are contacted by pollsters talking to them on the phone or what have you, in a shopping mall, wherever you see or hear talk to pollsters, that there is a whole chunk of people here who are not being honest with the pollster. But, you know, polls are like anything else, we're only at the beginning of August. So these polls are going to go up and down and every which way but loose before November. So before anybody starts to panic and go crazy and anything like that, I think we need to keep that in mind. But one of the other things here, I don't know if anybody has heard about this case of a guy named Seth Rich. And Seth Rich, he's a young guy, just 27. Seth Rich was kind of a DNC operative, I guess, for lack of a better word. And on July the 8th, a little over a month ago, he was murdered in Washington, D.C. The killer or killers, the investigation, I assume, is ongoing. The killer took nothing off Seth Rich's body after they murdered him. His wallet, his watch, his phone, his credit cards, his money, everything was there. So that kind of eliminates robbery as a motive for this. But shortly after Seth Rich's murder, a lot of social media types said that they were, quote, pursuing a lead, saying that Rich was en route to an FBI meeting the morning of his murder, apparently intending to speak to special agents about the ongoing court case possibly involving the Clinton family. And for anybody who doesn't know, this has been going back and forth all week, and I have something here This is from this morning, actually, that the FBI has in fact launched several investigations into possible corruption within the Clinton Foundation. That is a report from the Daily Caller. I'm going to get into this more in a second, but so we have the murder here of this young guy, Seth Rich. Seth Rich's father, Joel, told reporters, this is from this report here, incidentally, is from our buddy Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit. Seth Rich's father, Joel, told reporters, quote, if it was a robbery, it failed because he still had all of his belongings on him, watch, credit cards, money, phone, that kind of thing. It was a wasted effort, except that he lost his life. The D.C. Metropolitan Police have posted a reward for information leading to the arrest of Seth Rich's killer. And there is a, if you go to the Gateway Pundit, there is a picture here of the flyer here that is going around here. They're offering a $25,000 reward to anybody who has any information in regards to this case. On Tuesday of this week, WikiLeaks offered a $20,000 reward for information on the murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich. Julian Assange, who is the head dude, the big cheese over there at WikiLeaks, suggested on Tuesday that Seth Rich was a WikiLeaks informant. Julian Assange was on a Dutch news program called Newser, and they were talking about this particular case. And so here is a bit of Julian Assange's interview with the host of the Dutch TV program Newser, and they were talking a little bit about this case.
Donald Trump has had a disastrous few weeks. If you look at the polls, he needs a miracle. In the American political lexicon, there's such a thing as the October surprise. The stuff that you're sitting on, is an October surprise in there?
Do you even know what
you're sitting on?
WikiLeaks never sits on material. Whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old who works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So
what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources are.
But why make the suggestion about a young guy being shot in the streets of Washington?
Because we have to understand how high the stakes are in the United States, and that our sources are, you know, our sources face serious risks. That's why they come to us, so we can protect their anonymity.
But it's quite something to suggest a murder. That's basically what you're doing.
Well, that others have suggested that. We are investigating to understand what happened in that situation with Seth Rich. I think it is a concerning situation. There's not a conclusion yet. We wouldn't be willing to state a conclusion, but we are concerned about it. And more importantly, a variety of WikiLeaks sources are concerned when that kind of thing happens.
So Julian Assange there, and you know, you can say what you want about Julian Assange. I think it's kind of common knowledge that he is a pretty big liberal, but he's no fan of Hillary Clinton. And what he tells a lot of people, you know, you can debate the credibility of Julian Assange. That's fine. But what he has said consistently, I think, is that it's not about conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican. It's about that he wants to get the truth out. And I think it's pretty common knowledge at this point that he's no fan of Hillary Clinton. But Seth Rich is not the only death to occur of people who have ties to the DNC since the whole DNC email scandal broke during at the beginning of their convention last month. along with Seth Rich. These are probably other cases that you have not heard about because the mainstream media, of course, is ignoring them and they're focusing on whether or not Donald Trump made a threat against Hillary Clinton or not. Sean Lucas is another mysterious death that has taken place. Sean Lucas, along with this is from townhall.com. This is from Wednesday of this week, and it's a great piece by Rachel Alexander. Please go read it. And she is chronicling all of these mysterious deaths. Again, Sean Lucas, along with filmmaker Ricardo Villalba, I'm sure I'm butchering his name, served the DNC on July 3rd with a complaint and summons in a fraud action on behalf of Bernie Sanders supporters. In the video, he can be seen grinning, happy to do it. On August the 2nd, he was found lying on the bathroom floor dead by his girlfriend when she came home that evening. His girlfriend said that he was in good health. John Ash, the former president of the United Nations General Assembly, John Ash mysteriously passed away on June 22nd, a few days before he was scheduled to begin pretrial meetings involving shady financial dealings regarding a former Clinton crony. Local police officers said he died from dropping a barbell on his throat while working out, but the UN oddly first claimed he died of a heart attack. The 61-year-old was supposed to testify against Chinese real estate developer Ning Lap Sing, who was implicated in the Chinagate scandal for funneling money to the DNC for Bill Clinton through Arkansas restaurant owner Charlie Tree. Ash was arrested last year for allegedly taking over $3 million in bribes from Chinese businessmen, including over $500,000 from Ning Lap Se, in exchange for building a United Nations conference center in Macau. Dominican attorney Henry Schillingford questioned his death, quote, "It is strange for Antigua's most senior diplomat to be implicated and die under such troubling circumstances," unquote. The New York Post page six ran a skeptical article questioning the circumstances. A source told the newspaper, during the trial, the prosecutors would have linked Ash to the Clinton bagman Ning, who would have been very embarrassing. His death was conveniently timed. However, his widow, Dr. Anila Sheridan, said it was the third time that her husband had been found collapsed at their home. There, of course, we know about other suspicious deaths who are related to the Clintons. We all know, even today, the suicide of Vince Foster is debated. And you know, I heard somebody else pose this question this week. How many of us, myself, anybody who's listening, anybody who's in the chat room, anybody who listens later on during a podcast, how many of us know people who have been indicted, who have been in prison for embezzlement, for funneling money, for money laundering, for any type of thing that has been suggested that the Clintons might have been engaged in? How many of us know anybody who is dealing with those circumstances? I don't. I don't know anybody like that, and I doubt that you do either. And this, again, is what I've been saying again for quite a while, is that people who are millennials, people who either were not born yet or people who are too young to remember all of the things that went on with the Clintons, starting. From their days in Arkansas, going straight through to today, they have a track record and a history that is unparalleled. And it's going to be up to us. It's going to be up to conservatives and Republicans, because, again, we've learned that those are two different groups. But it's going to be up to us to let people know, to educate people, and to talk about these things, to bring them back out in the open, and to let people know just exactly who Hillary Clinton is. And I can't stress it enough. We have to do it. It's up to us. And, you know, we have even new things here today that, again, this has been going back and forth all week long, that we've learned just yesterday, I believe, that Hillary Clinton's top aide at the State Department, Cheryl Mills, she's a big time advisor to Hillary Clinton. She is one of the people in the inner circle, one of her higher ups, that she did work for the Clinton Foundation while being employed by the State Department. That is a report from CNN. The case is yet one more instance raising questions about the possibility of the intermingling of Hillary Clinton's work as Secretary of State with the Clinton Foundation. According to CNN, Cheryl Mills, who was then Clinton's chief of staff at the State Department, traveled to New York on June 19, 2012, to interview two people to possibly lead the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton herself agreed to rules when she became Secretary of State. This is also very key, I think. Hillary Clinton agreed to rules when she became the Secretary of State that no activities of the foundation would, quote, create conflicts or the appearance of conflicts for Senator Clinton as Secretary of State, unquote. Well, I think we all know now, that Hillary Clinton, and for the most part, that both Clintons, that the rules don't apply to them. They are above the rules that the rest of us, that the great unwashed, that we have to live by and that we have to follow. But Cheryl Mills' attorney told CNN that her duties interviewing the executives were done in an unpaid voluntary capacity and that she paid for the train trip from Washington, D.C. out of her own pocket and not with State Department funds. The State Department was asked by CNN if Mills needed permission for the trip and was told by a spokesperson, quote, federal employees are permitted to engage in outside personal activities within the scope of the federal ethics rules. All federal employees are subject to federal ethics laws and regulations, including rules pertaining to conflicts of interest. And, of course, this comes on the heels of the release of 44 new Clinton emails that suggest contacts between the Clinton Foundation and the State Department. So that is also something that we are looking at. And very quickly here, before I go to a break, again, I was just saying that this is a report from the Daily Caller that is dated today, this morning, that the FBI has in fact launched several investigations into possible corruption within the Clinton Foundation. The Bureau has support from various U.S. attorneys' offices, including Preet Bharara of the Civil Frauds Unit, that will focus on Clinton Foundation headquarters in New York. Again, that is according to a Daily Caller report. Bharara has garnered public acclaim for getting convictions of prominent political figures. The joint investigation with the U.S. Attorney's Office is a departure from how Hillary Clinton's personal email server probe was handled, which caused an uproar that led to FBI Director James Comey and U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch being called before a congressional committee hearing. In its 15 years, the Clinton Foundation, I'm going to start this again so that we know exactly what we're talking about here. In its 15 years, the Clinton Foundation has taken in more than $2 billion in donations from around the world. At stake is how did Clinton use her position as Secretary of State to influence foreign donors in what is commonly referred to as a pay-for-play scheme. This is the woman who wants to be the 45th president of the United States. Let's just let that sink in for a minute. I'm Becky Noble. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. I'm going to take a short break, and we still got a lot to get to before we wrap things up for the day, but we will do it as best we can, and stay right where you are.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to fun, exciting oldies, The Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-398-8309, 800-398-8309, 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
We are back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thanks for hanging out with me today, TGIF. Very quickly, before we have to get out of here today, something I was talking about a little bit earlier in the show, there is a group of 70, they call them 70 senior Republicans and party operatives. They have signed an open letter to GOP Chairman Reince Priebus imploring him to cut off funding to aid Donald Trump's presidential candidate in favor of helping Senate and House candidates, more down-ballot candidates. The quote from them here is, quote, "We believe that Donald Trump's divisiveness, recklessness, incompetence, and record-breaking unpopularity risk turning this election into a Democrat landslide, and only the immediate shift of all available RNC resources to vulnerable Senate and House races will prevent the GOP from drowning with a Trump-emblazoned anchor around its neck." This is a draft of the letter that is being sent to the RNC and Reince Priebus. "This should not be a difficult decision, as Donald Trump's chances of being elected president are evaporating by the day." And a lot of the people on this list are really people that nobody's ever heard of. In addition to former U.S. Senator Gordon Humphrey of New Hampshire and former Representatives Tom Coleman of Missouri, Chris Shays of Connecticut, and Vin Weber of Minnesota, almost 20 former RNC staff signed the letter, including former Press Secretary Christine Iverson Gunderson and former Communications Director B.J. Cooper. It goes on to say, quote, "Those recent outrages have built on his campaign of anger and exclusion, during which he has mocked and offended millions of voters, including the disabled, women, Muslims, immigrants, and minorities. He has also shown dangerous authoritarian tendencies, including threats to ban an entire religion from entering the country, order the military to break the law by torturing prisoners, kill the families of unsuspected terrorists, track law-abiding Muslim citizens in databases, and use executive orders to other legal and unconstitutional measures. Cutting off Trump would greatly injure his campaign. According to the Washington Post, last month, Trump raised $82 million with help from the RNC, but he still trailed Hillary Clinton, who raised $8 million. But again, this is something that when I talk about that Donald Trump is not just running against Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. He's not just running against the media. He's running against his fellow Republicans. This is from The Atlantic. This is from this week. I don't see a date, but black pastors are breaking the law to get Hillary Clinton elected. It is illegal for clergy to support or oppose political candidates from the pulpit. Houses of worship can host candidate forums and voter registration drives. Pastors and rabbis and imams can even bend the rules a little to advocate, quote, as individuals at conventions and other events. But for more than 60 years, religious groups have been forbidden from electioneering. Apparently, a lot of pastors don't pay attention to this. According to a new survey from the Pew Research Center, roughly 9% of people who have attended religious services in the past few months have heard clergy speak out in favor of a political candidate, and roughly 11% have heard clergy speak in opposition. What's remarkable, though, is how much this is apparently happening at one particular kind of church, those run by black Protestants. 28% of those who have attended black Protestant churches in the last few months have heard their pastor support Hillary Clinton. 7% experienced the opposite. Clear political speech is not punishable by jail time. The worst possible consequence for a house of worship is losing its status as a tax-exempt 501c3 organization. Let's see. It goes on to say, on the whole, though, black pastors are much more opposed to Donald Trump. 20% of recent attendees said they've heard comments against Trump at church. This kind of political advocacy apparently extends to down-ballot races, too. 9% of black church attendees heard clergy speak in favor of a candidate who wasn't Trump or Clinton, while 6% heard their pastors speak in opposition. So, you know, I think this has been going on in African-American churches for quite a while. The Communist Party, of course, is uniting behind Hillary. That may be something we have to talk about next week because, you know, that's only gonna get better. Of course, this week we heard about a lawsuit filed by the parents of two of the four Americans who died in Benghazi in 2012 filed a lawsuit Monday against Democrat presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, alleging her reckless handling of classified information that contributed to their deaths. Also in the lawsuit, it goes on to talk about defamation of character that Hillary Clinton has basically all but called them liars on national TV and really kind of blown off what they were saying and chalked it up to grief and that they really didn't know what they were talking about. So we have that. It will be interesting to see where that goes, how far it goes. And you know what? I'm hoping it's going pretty damn far. But very quickly, before we get out of here, in a little witchy news, this week archaeologists are trying to decipher magic spells etched onto tiny rolls of gold and silver that they found alongside skeletons of humans buried almost 2,000 years ago. The alphabet is Greek, that much we know. The language is Aramaic. It's a Middle Eastern mystery to us. Miamar Korak, chief archaeologist at the site in eastern Serbia, told Reuters. The skeletons were found at the foot of a massive coal-fired power station where searches are being carried out before another unit of the electricity plant is built on the site of the ancient Roman city. Last week, after carefully brushing away soil from the bones, Korak's team found two amulets made of lead that, when opened, were each found to rolls of precious metal, silver and gold, covered in symbols and writing. They believe the inscriptions are magic spells taken to the grave to invoke divine powers to perform good or evil. We read the names of a few demons that are connected to the territory of modern-day Syria, archaeologist Ilya Dankovic said at the dig, as more skeletons from the 4th century AD are being uncovered. The fragile golden and silver scrolls were once unrolled to look like rectangles of foil similar in size to a sweet wrapper, may never fully be understood. They are the first such items discovered in Serbia, but resemble amulets of binding magic found in other countries, Dankovic said. They were often love charms, according to someone ordering someone to fall in love, but they were also dark, malignant curses to the tune of "May your body turn dead, as cold and heavy as this lead," he said. Magic charms tended to be buried with dead children or adults who had suffered a violent death, Dankovic said, because of a belief that, quote, souls of such people took longer to find rest and had a better chance of finding demons and deities and pass the wishes to them so they could do their magic. So, that is that. I am out of here. Please go to theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Politichicks.com should be something new up there very shortly. Facebook.com/Becky Noble and on Twitter at Patriot Witch. And please check out Red Nation Rising Radio Network. It is awesome. You will love it. Everyone have a fantastic weekend, and I will see you next time.
Stand.